Okay, we're going to start off a little bit differently. I'm going to show you a video, which you've seen before, and then right after the video, I'm going to play a song for you and put the lyrics up on the screen. So it's about 5 minutes of you guys just looking at the screen here. And I want you to notice the contrast. The video is kind of what people in the world are saying, and then the song is what a believer would say about sex. And it's very interesting to see the contrast here. I realize the song might get a little long, but I want you just to follow along and think about it. This might not be something you're used to talking a lot about or thinking a lot about, but let's just take the next 20 minutes here and do that. So watch this this video and then listen to the song.
Do you think it's okay to have sex before marriage?
I think as long as you're in love with the person, then it's okay.
I think that you should have experience before you go, you know, throwing yourself into any kind of long-term commitment. I think you should have an idea of what you want.
I don't think that it's bad or wrong if they do. So I guess my answer is yes, I think it's okay to have sex before you're married as long as that's how you feel.
Do you think it's okay to have sex before marriage?
I think it's okay if you really love that person. I don't think it's okay just to sleep around and have one-night stands, but if you love that person, I don't see what's wrong with it.
Personally, if I was strong enough, I'd say no.
Do you think it's okay to have sex before marriage?
I think it's morally wrong, but I think it's completely acceptable in today's culture.
Like, if you want to do it, you think you're mature enough, you know, to handle the responsibilities that come along with it and the consequences, yeah, you should do it.
I would be a hypocrite if I just sit here and say that I think it's completely wrong. I mean, I think it's morally wrong, but I think it's acceptable at the same time.
Do you copy? FDX to death when I'm pressed, so back up off with less of that sense. Impressive brother with a life of virtue. The innocence that's spent is gonna hurt you. Safe is the way they say to play. Then again, safe ain't safe at all today. So just wait for the bait that's straight from God. And don't have sex till you die like that.
Time for us to see the truth. That love is simply more fulfilling than the need
for sex.
Respect is what we need to find the cure for this disease. And trust.
Safe is the way to say to play. Then again, safe ain't safe at all today. So just wait for the mate that's straight from God. Don't give it up till you're tired of not.
Two different messages in the video and in the song, okay? And which one do you hear more? You probably hear the first one more, and you don't even know it. But everything in our culture today screams, you know what? If two people love each other, it's fine. It's something everybody does. Okay, maybe it's not morally right, but it's culturally acceptable. It's socially acceptable because everybody does it. There's a lot more to that first video that I didn't show you. I may show you some more last week. But generally, what the world believes is okay and what they want you to believe is okay is that sex is a normal thing that happens. But remember, we talked last week about how there are five purposes that God laid out for sex. And we talked last week about what God was thinking. If you weren't here last week, you can listen to that online and you can look at the notes from last week online. This week, we're going to talk about what went wrong. You know, I think that song that we listened to was right on. It was three single guys in a group called DC Talk. It was one of their old CDs that came out in 97. You can find it on iTunes if you want to find that song. But what they decided they sat down and did was they said, hey, we're single guys right now, and there's a huge pressure for us to be doing what the rest of the world is doing. And we're going to make a statement. We're going to make a declaration. We're going to take a stand and say we don't want to be a part of that lifestyle for now because that's not how God designed it. And that song came out of the fact that something had gone wrong with sex in the world, and they needed to respond to it. And this morning, what we're going to talk about is what went wrong. And we're going to talk about four big lies that the world is trying to tell you. And there's more than four, but we're going to talk about the four big ones. Four big lies that the world tells us about sex. Now, I understand this. There was some giggling during that song. There were some awkward postures out there. Some people are awkward and uncomfortable right now. This is a weird topic. I just want to go ahead and say that up front. Okay, you may not understand what we're talking about, but there are people in this room, that I want you to know, that do understand what we're talking about and need to hear it, and you will need to hear it someday. So even if you're not right in the middle of this, you know, confusing situation involving sex, I want you to listen and I want you to pay attention, because if not this year, next year, or the year after, you're going to face some situations where you have to make some decisions. All right, and I want you to be ready, and I want you to be exposed not just to what the world has to say about sex, because they have plenty to say about it, but I want you to be exposed to what God has to say about it. So here's what went wrong, and I'm going to crank through these. Lie number one is this. The first lie that the world wants you to believe, and really God's enemy, Satan, wants you to believe this. He wants you to believe that sex is limited to just going all the way. And I'm not going to spell it out for you because some of you guys haven't gotten the wonderful privilege of having the birds and the bees talk with your parents yet. And believe me, it's a real charming moment to get to have that talk. And so I'm not going to spell out for you what going all the way means. You go, well, I don't know what that means. Go home and ask your parents. It's not my job to tell you that. But a lot of you guys know what that means. And a lot of people will believe, and maybe even some of you in this room believe, that sex is only going all the way. But let me show you what the Bible has to say. I want you to pay close attention to this. Ephesians 5:3 says, but among you believers in Christ, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. And then look at what Jesus says. Jesus in Matthew 5:27 and 23 says, you've heard it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And what Jesus said there was, hey, even a look, adultery, by the way, is sex outside of marriage, Okay, it could be a married person having sex with someone else that's not their husband or wife, or it could be someone that is unmarried having sex outside of the purpose that God made in marriage. And so these two things, I want you to look at these and just really ponder them. What do they mean to you? What is God saying here? That there must not be even a little hint of sexual immorality. And if Jesus says, hey, even a look, even looking at something, at a woman lustfully, could be like committing adultery or going all the way in your heart. Sex is not limited to going all the way. There are a lot of things that are very sexual just in their nature that aren't going all the way, but that God would still say, boy, that is, I group that in. It is connected to sex. It is part of your sexuality. And I want to tell you just some of those things that I believe, based on these two passages of Scripture, are inappropriate for believers to do. All right, and I want you to understand this. Here's a question that I bet some of the eighth grade guys might have on their mind, maybe even younger. This was a question I was asking when I was in eighth grade, seventh grade. It was, how far is too far to go with a guy or a girl when it comes to a physical relationship? And I would tell you, here's how far is too far. Whenever there's a hint of sexual immorality, whenever there's a hint of lust, that is too far. Let me give you some examples. Things like passionate long kisses, okay? I'm not talking about a little peck or, you know, a short little kiss, goodnight or something like that. You guys can decide what you want to do with that. But when people kiss, like you see in the movies, these really long kisses or what people, your friends, will call making out, okay? This sort of deal, these passionate long kisses, there's a hint of sexual immorality in that. I know because that's how I kiss my wife. Here's something that comes up at some of your dances and parties is this dance called freak dancing or grinding, or I don't know what the other appropriate thing is. But I want you to understand, I know you guys are laughing because this is something you're familiar with, but when you do that, let's just call it what it is. It's a dance, if you don't know what it is, where a guy and a girl dance with their bodies touching each other. It is a, there are parts of your body that are covered, sure. Your body's covered, but there are parts of your body that are touching that are, it's a very sexual behavior. And there's a hint of sexual immorality and impurity in that. It's an inappropriate thing to do. Touching a guys touching a girl in that way, or girls touching a guy in that way. Sex is not just limited to going all the way. That is connected to sexuality. Things like looking at pornography, or guys looking at what I just got in the mail this week, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, which is a bunch of chicks with swimsuits on posing in a way to make you want to look at them. And I get the issue in the mail, and I just want to tell you that when I get the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in the mail, I'm a subscriber of Sports Illustrated, I pulled out the mail, and I go, oh my gosh, it's a swimsuit issue. And you want to know what I did with it? My wife was in the other room asleep. I didn't flip through it and have a look. I didn't go hide it somewhere I could look at it later. But I took another piece of mail and I put it over top of it. And I walked it straight to the kitchen. And I stepped on the trash can and I threw it in upside down. And I said, I don't want to look at that, because Jesus said that anyone that even looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I did not want to commit adultery on my wife by looking at those women lustfully. And if you're a guy, that's a temptation for you. And that's a draw for you, is to look at that. And I was tempted. And I was stirred by that. And I said, I want to open that. And I said, no, and I'm not going to, because I don't want there to be a hint, not even a hint of sexual immorality in my life. And that's a tough decision for a guy to make. Guys, you have it available to you when you go home this afternoon on the internet to look up stuff and to look at pictures of women. But Jesus says, and the Bible is clear, that that is connected to sex. And sex isn't just limited to going all the way. That's an immoral activity. Something like any level, okay, if you're with a guy and a girl, you're going out, any level of undressing each other, any level, any touching of private parts or anything like that, covered or uncovered, too far, way across the line. Guys, a lot of times you make sexual jokes, you have conversations about things that you've seen and heard and thought about, all of that. That is coarse joking and foolish talk is what the Bible calls that, and he says we should have none of that amongst believers. You know, there are so many other things, text messages that are about inappropriate things. Phone messages, all those things, that's all connected to sex. And here's what I want you to know is you cannot separate something physical out and say, no, that's not sex. Yes, it is. It's all part of sexual experience. And I want you to know this, man. The lie that the world is telling you is that sex is limited to going all the way, and that is a lie. It's all connected. You can't separate things out and say, oh, well, I can go this far, and it's okay because we didn't go all the way. That's ridiculous. Do you guys hear that? Do you understand that? That's a lie. And your friends are going to tell you that, and the television's going to tell you that, and the songs you listen to are going to... And people will say that, and I just want you to know that that is way past a hint of sexual immorality, and the Bible says there shouldn't be even a hint of it. And even a look is like committing adultery. You guys get what I'm saying here? That's lie number one, okay? And that's the biggest one, I think. Lie number two is this, that sex can serve my purposes. We talked last week about the five purposes that God has. Go ahead and bring those up. Sex is meant for, here's a review, marriage. It's meant for a man and a woman. It's meant for intimacy. It's meant for reproduction. It's meant for teaching us about Jesus and the church. And what the world wants you to think, this is really what was on that video, is, hey, if two people are in love, or, if they want to see what it's like with another person before they decide to get married, they should probably experiment with that and see what it's like and figure it out and all that. They're creating their own purposes, okay? And the lie the world wants you to believe is you can do whatever you want to do because it's your life. And that's a lie, because our lives are God's life. He created you and he created me. And our lives are not our own to do with as we please. We're to live them in obedience and service to him. And he made sex, that part of our life, for these five purposes, and you can't make up your own purposes. You know, there's this popular movement you may or may not know about. I hope you don't, but I'm going to go ahead and expose it to you so you know what's going on out there with high schoolers and with people in college and things like that. They call it two things. They call it hooking up, and then they call it friends with benefits, okay? And here's what that is. Hooking up is just two people might meet at a party, or they might meet with a group of friends, or they might meet online, and they might just decide, we're just going to hook up and mess around physically and fool around, and that's all it's going to be. It's just a one-time deal. The friends with benefits thing is two people that are friends, and they say, listen, we don't really want to go out and mess with all that. Oh, I got to get you a Valentine's Day thing. We have to go on a date. We have to call and all that. Let's just enjoy each other physically, but just be friends with that physical benefit. And people live that way because they're creating their own purposes for sex. I just want it to be for pleasure and not for marriage, not for intimacy, not for reproduction, not for anything about Jesus in the church, but just for my own pleasure. And people create their own purposes. And it, you know what? It's not meant for that. That's lie number two. Lie number three is that sex leads to love. Girls, someday you might hear this from a guy. If you really love me, you would fill in the blank. A girl might think to herself, maybe he will love me if I fill in the blank. And a guy might feel like, I'm alone, I'm lonely, I'm disconnected. This will make me feel loved. And the lie is that sex can lead to love. And I want to tell you that couldn't be any farther from the truth. Let me tell you what love is. Love is patience. Love is kindness. Love is not envy, not boasting, not being proud. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. Love is not selfish. Love is not physical satisfaction and gratification. Love is being patient and kind and serving and being always there, always protecting, always. Do you see the always, always, always? It never fails. Do you see that there at the bottom? That means that love is contained in this eternal commitment. It's not just some passing thing and a feeling that you can create. Love isn't created. You can't manufacture love in a sexual relationship. Love is an action and a choice that you make the way you live and care for other people. And so that's a lie that people are going to try to get you to buy. The first one, remember, was sex is limited to going all the way. That's just a lie. The second one was that it could serve your own purposes. And the third lie is that sex leads to love. And finally, The world will tell you that sex can be safe. The term safe sex is one that's just thrown out there all over the place. And I just want you to know that it is never, ever, ever a safe activity to engage in. And I'll tell you that just for one reason, guarantee, is that every time that you are involved physically with another person, it's not just your bodies that are connecting. It is your hearts and your souls and your emotions. And in those relationships outside of marriage, when you're not with that person every day and committed to them for the rest of your life, when those relationships break off and they go their separate ways, a part of you you've given to that person is gone with them. And your heart is never, ever safe. And the scriptures command us in Proverbs 4:23, a fantastic verse about this says, above all else, you have to guard your heart. It's the wellspring of your life. And it is never, ever, ever safe, never safe to become that vulnerable and that intimate and that close with another person unless you know you're going to be with them for the rest of your life. Because if you don't have this ring on your finger and that commitment made in front of all your friends and your family, then you're liable to get your heart ripped into and broken, and it's never, ever safe. That's the most dangerous thing, is having your heart hurt. And there are a lot of other dangers. You guys probably have heard about it in your little classes that you've taken in your schools and what about diseases you can catch and other things that can happen. But this is the most important thing to me, is your hearts. And I just want to tell you that it's never, ever safe. So guys, don't believe these lies. Don't believe that it's just limited to one little activity. Don't believe that you can use it for your own purposes. You guys, don't believe that it's going to produce some sort of emotional feeling of love that you haven't had before. And don't believe that it's going to be safe in any way. Those are lies, and I want you to hear them loud and clear. You're going to get a chance to talk about these in your small group this week. Get ready for an awkward conversation. Get ready to be honest. But get ready to look at what the Bible has to say and talk about it. Boy, what does that really mean for me and what's going on in my life, or what's going to go on in my life in the next few months? Guys, one more week of weirdness, okay? Next week I'm going to talk about what do you do with all this information. How is a junior high student supposed to live from this point on, based on what God's truth says about sex? I'm going to give you real practical things to do in your own lives. Let me pray. God, I just thank you for getting us through these last 2 weeks, and for letting your word speak over our hearts, even when it's hard to say or hard to listen to. And I pray that it would have an impact on lives starting today and then just launching into the future, that the words of your Bible would stick in people's minds, and that you'd bring purity to their lives. And just God, I pray that you would work and move in these small groups as they meet together. And I pray that no heart would be broken or ripped because of bad choices or mistakes made related to sex, and that you'd use these few weeks as a catalyst for the good of these students and for your glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.